Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Dalid. And I think we were holding still on the very bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. And it's the penultimate line. Hayta gavoa me'esrim ama is where we're up to. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to discuss what the possibilities are of making a sukkah, which is actually has more than a 20 amot halal, so it's got a little bit, anything above 20 amot, between the floor and the schach, passes the sukkah. Suppose you want to be memayetit. You want to cover the floor with something that will make the floor on your level closer to the schach. Okay, so I talk about mesrim amau balama karimuch satot. So you want to cover it with, let's say, pillows from your couch. You're going to scatter pillows over the whole floor, and thereby you'll walk on those pillows, and there now will be less than 20 amos. That's not considered to be a miut. Why is it not considered to be a miut? Because there is no way that your floor is going to be permanently made out of those pillows. And even if you would say, look, I'm leaving these pillows here for the entire Sukkot, we would say bot lo daite. So afagav the batlinu the kulo, even though he said the whole thing is botlo, I can stay here. Far as I'm concerned, I'm no intent of ever taking them away. When I say ever, Rashi learns that ever means ever during the 7 days of Sukkot. But there are other Rishonim that hold ever has to mean ever. If you're going to be mevato something, you can be mevato something for 7 days. That's not considered to be bito. Okay, that's a machlokas Rishonim. But in any event, even if you said that you have fully intent to leave them there, we would say botla da'ato etzo kol adam. We do not accept that as a standard type of relationship to the flooring, and therefore the floor basically remains the ground level. The ground level in that case is too far away from the schach. Now, how about if you've got tevin? Now, tevin, that's straw, okay, and straw, I mean, it's certainly possible that people would leave straw around, although straw does have a lot of good uses. I mean, it's animal feed. It's good for burning and was very commonly used to get a fire going or burn things in your oven. So over there, if you actually were mevatalit, meaning that you said, some understand Rashi to mean literally said, because he says said, meaning verbally said. There are many who say that Rashi doesn't mean has to be dafka verbally. As a matter of fact, some Rishonim say beferish, it does not have to be, the Ritva says, does not have to be verbal. Okay, but in any event, if you left it there, so then it certainly is a miut. That is a different floor level. Fine. Kol shekein, if you put dirt down on the floor and you said or accepted in your heart, according to Ritva, I'm happy leaving the dirt there. So now the floor is, let's say, another 3 inches high. Okay, that for sure. If I'm a vatalit, that is definitely considered to be a kosher sukkah now because it is now not a cholol of esrim amot. But how about if it's teven ve'ein atid lefanoto? Or if it's a far stam. So now what we're talking about over here is three different levels of to what extent we should view the additional material as being a part of the floor. So one is your mevatalit. Okay, that's basically you made it part of the floor. The other is that we're introducing over here is that you have no intentions currently of removing it. So in other words, there's no need for it that you are aware of, but you did not say, I'm leaving it here. It's just that we have no reason to assume that you would move it away, and neither do you. Or how about if you put down offer and you don't really know whether it's going to be needed or not? You haven't thought about it. I mean, maybe you're in construction and you use some of this offer for concrete. I don't know. Or maybe you just don't like dirt on your floor, but you haven't put any thought into it. That's called offer stam. You just put dirt on the floor. Now, you did not clearly make up your mind about it. We don't know what's going to be the future. You haven't thought about it. So that gives us three levels. Bito, enatit lefanoto, and stam as the lowest level. You just put the dirt down. So if it's tevin, now again, we have three levels of intent that is to say, or lack of intent, three levels of what your relationship is to what you put down, but we also have three levels of material. So the three levels of material are things like cushions from your couch, where we say over there it won't even help for you to say intent to leave it there because it's not normal. Then we have dirt. Dirt is the lowest level because, I mean, it's not something that has a specific usage. And then we have tevin, which does have specific usage. Matching up those three levels of material with the three levels of your commitment to leaving it there. What we're saying is that, look, if it's something that is absurd to claim that you're leaving, and even if you really will, then you're insane. Nobody makes a floor out of your cushions from your couch. So that is for sure not going to be enough for that lowest level of possible real leaving, like the cushions. Tevin, we just said, that definitely would be enough if you said you're going to leave it there. And dirt absolutely is enough if you said you're going to leave it there. But how about if we match up in a different way the levels of the material with the levels of your intent? So tevin was the middle level. Tevin was something that does have other usages, obvious usages, usages that may be calling out to you. Let's match up the tevin, not with the highest sense of leaving it there, which is actual verbal or conceptual commitment to leave it there. Currently, I have no plans of removing it. That's not the same thing as saying I'm leaving it. Currently, I have no plans to remove it. I know that in the next week, I've looked at my calendar, according to Rashi, next week, or the guy says, look, I'm not a farmer. What am I going to use it for? I've got electrical heating. I don't need the straw. I don't know. I mean, yeah, if something comes up, but I don't know of any need. And then we have offer, which is the clearest level of material that ought to be part of a floor, and we'll match it up with the absolutely lowest level of your commitment to leave it, which is, you didn't even think about it. You just put the floor, you put the dirt down. So that's called stam. Over there, we have a machlokas Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbanan. So we see that clearly in a Mishnah that we had in Ohalot. Where would it be Nogea Ohalot? Well, remember, in Ohalot, the halacha is that if you have tum'ah, which is covered by an empty space of one tefach or more, it's considered to be in the Ohel, and it does not penetrate past the level of the oil. So therefore, anything above that house is not going to be radiated upon by the tuma of the mace, which is basically radiates up and down until it hits an oil. But if there's not an oil, well, how could it be in a house? And a house wouldn't be in a very simple. You filled the house in. So now it's a solid building filled with dirt, pebbles, and whatever, right? So over there in that case, if you fill the house up with dirt and there's no longer a halal tefach above the body, so then what was the halacha that we learned in Ohalos? The tumat meit is boka'at ve'ola ad l'rakia. It continues going straight and it will, anything that hits it as a plane passing over, whatever, it will be affected by it as if it were a laser beam. Not spreading, obviously, but straight over the mate. So there we learned in the Mishnah, by Ichimilu Tevenot Srorot, if you filled up a house that had a body in it, and you filled it up with straw, or you filled it up with dirt, because Srorot are essentially dirt. I mean, it, you know, means like pebbles. And you went ahead and were mevatel it, and you said, I am leaving it there, and that's it. They are mevutal, and because of that, the tuma will be boka'at viola. So you see from the Mishnah clearly that only if you were mevatel it, it says bitlo. But if you were not mevatel it, then it would not be memayat the house. And it would still be, despite the fact that I can't actually see a place of a tefach that's lamala min amed, but that tefach is there because we view the thing that's going to be removed as being not there. Now, here's where we see that it's machlokas. V'tani Allah, the Braita says that talking about that house, Rabbi Yossi Omer, tevin ve'in atid lefanoto. If you put down tevin, and you have no intention of leaving, of taking it away for any reason, then that's the equivalent of just putting down dirt without any thinking about it at all, that's gafar stam, and both of those would be batal. If it's afar, and please mute yourselves, if it's afar, and you do have a need for that afar, and it's atid lefanoto, then it's kistam tevin. It would be the equivalent of someone who just scattered straw on the floor, and that is not batal, even according to me. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi is saying that tevin is for sure not considered to be without any kind of chashivas. It's not considered to be batal because the tevin has a usage, and therefore it is not batal. Okay, so basically that means that we've got three different sets of materials and three different sets of intentions. So therefore, if you have tevin or ofar, and you were beferish mevatalet, nobody argues about that case. That for sure is considered to be batal. If you have tevin and you have no plan of using it, or you have ofar, of course, would be the same thing, or even ofar stam, so then Rabbi Yossi would hold that in both cases it's batal. And the Tana of the Mishnah says, no, that's not true. You need to have specific intent to be mevatel it, and otherwise it will not be batal. And in the case of Tevin Stam and Ofer, which is Atid Lefanoto, there again, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yossi agrees, that that's not considered to be batal. So that would basically be the same idea, Legabi, our Sukkah. Now, the next case that we had was if it was Govoa Miesrim Amma, and now instead of the distance between the floor and the schach being changed by adding material to the floor, over here we're changing the distance between the schach and the floor by adding material to the schach, namely on the top. So you've got chutzin that are yordin betoch esrim amma. So you got some of the leaves that are hanging down into the space, and now they are not really part of the upper schach. Let me just make something clear. When we're dealing with one body of schach, then there's no question that there's no particular layer of schach that we're going to be looking at, right? In other words, you look up at the ceiling, and at the level of 20 amas from the floor, you're at the bottom of a thick patch of schach. At that level, you have already the chamata is not meruba mitzelata. But you could ask yourself, well, I mean, how thick is the piece I'm looking at? One molecule? An inch? A centimeter? That's not a question. The entire schach is viewed as one piece. And if I'm looking at that piece of schach that begins at the 20 amot height, I don't need to analyze what layer of the schach is at the 20 amot height that gives it a tselata miruba michamata? Because all I need is for the schach to begin at that level. In this case, the schach does not begin at that level. The schach begins at 21 amot from the floor level. The only thing is that there are clearly disassociated leaves. They're attached, but they're hanging down. They can't view them as being all one piece of schach. And there, the question is that those leaves themselves could constitute a different layer of schach if they themselves would be sufficient to provide tselata miruba michamatan. So that's our question. So in that case, im tselata miruba michamatan, so that makes the sukkah kosher with the lower level of schach. And im lav, psula. But if not, it's possible. Now, the question that is actually raised because of the way the Gemara presents this is, why doesn't the upper schach, which is posel schach, posel the lower schach, which is kosher schach? Because in this case, it's not all one schach. Otherwise, the whole discussion is absurd. What do you mean, hutzin yordim, and wherever you're measuring it? How are you going to define the level of which you're measuring? How thick is that level? I mean, it's a ridiculous thing. Where are you going to come up with an idea of whether it's a molecule or 10 molecules or whether it's an inch or a centimeter or a foot? So obviously, we're looking at it as two separate layers, right? So if it's two separate layers, isn't there a din of a psul if there's something pusul on top of the schach that's kosher? So why isn't the schach that's pusul enough to pusul the schach that's kosher under it? So that raises all kinds of fascinating issues, which we're going to be dealing with later in the sugya of sukkah, shetachat ha-sukkah. Over here, one of the primary interesting approaches is that schach that is lamala mi esrim is not schach pasul. It's only positioned in a way that's pasul. You can't view it as schach pasul vis-a-vis the sukkah. We'll see whether that stands up to closer scrutiny later on, but it's certainly a very important nakuda over here. Now, how about in the other direction? Suppose the sukkah is 10 tefachim high, but there are leaves that are hanging down into the 10 tefachim area. So then the idea was that Abaye said, okay, that's the same thing in the inverse, right? If those leaves are enough to create a situation where you have more tzel than chama, so then that means your sukkah is not high enough. But if those leaves are not, so you have chamatam iruba mitzilatam, so then they would be kosher. Okay? Note how Rav Barnea this morning is actually modeling one of the ancient Greek engravings on a well-known wine container where they had a picture of someone who was sitting saying L'chaim. It's a beautiful job, Rabbanu. Thank you. L'chaim. Anyway, but Rava said to him, no, because you're ignoring another issue. The other issue is that a dira that has got things hanging down from the ceiling and bumping into your forehead all the time is a disgusting place to live. And that is not the kind of place that would be kosher for a dira. A dira srucha. This is a stinky house. Ve'ena adam dar b'dira srucha. Okay, question, is that enough to pass the sukkah on the level of a dira? Is he really claiming that the sukkah that isn't ten tefachim high would be possible because it's a dira srucha, or is he just saying lechatchila the rabbanan said that's not the way to have a sukkah, but you would be yotze? Actually, seems to be a machlokas rishonim. But gentlemen, ask yourselves: is this enough of a raya as to why it is that a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim high? Because later on, the Gemara is going to bring a raya tomorrow from the pasuk that you need to have 10 tefachim high. So, are we saying that it would be possible if it's less than 10 tefachim because it's a dira srucha? Not necessarily. But we'll leave you time to think about it. We'll talk about it tomorrow when we get to that next sugya. Okay, now the question is, what about if the sukkah is gavoa mi esrim ama, and now you avoid this whole problem of being mevatel, the floor with the offer or whatever, you actually build a little deck inside the sukkah. And that deck extends from one wall of the sukkah to the other wall of the sukkah along the third wall. Okay, so now the question is, so what's the problem? I don't understand. That's a sukkah. I mean, I build a deck, I put walls on the deck, and the distance from the floor of the deck to the schach is less than 20 amas. That is a sukkah by definition. I mean, so what are we talking about over here? Obviously, that's kosher. It's a sukkah. What's that?
A split-level sukkah. A split-level sukkah.
A split-level sukkah. But that's the question, apparently. In other words, if the walls of the outside sukkah, which Richie's calling our split-level sukkah, if they are not actually kosher, what would be the din of the inner sukkah? So there's two issues that are being raised over here by the Gemara. According to Rashi, the point that the Gemara is making is that the entire sukkah is kosher, not only the inner platform that you made over there, the deck. The whole thing is kosher. So that your split-level sukkah, despite the fact that you are in an area that does not have the din of a sukkah kosher because it's lamala mi'esri mama, surprisingly, the whole thing is kosher because, according to Rashi, this is a case of psal hayotzei min ha-sukkah.
And the din of psala yotze min hasukkah is the classical case. A psala yotze min hasukkah, and as soon as you hear the classical case, you're going to think, what is Rashi talking about? Which does his tainus on Rashi? Okay. But the classical case of psala yotze min hasukkah is like this. You've got a kosher sukkah, three mechitzas. Your roofing, which is your schach kosher, extends beyond the mechitzas. And you have one of those walls extends along the schach. So now the basic, and this happens very, very often, right? So you've got a sukkah with the minimal requirements of three walls. And then, you know, you didn't build the third wall any longer than it needed to be machshir the sukkah, right? But you still got plenty of schach over the rest of the sukkah. So then that should be perfectly okay. Because if it's psal that's yotze from a sukkah kshera, the inside part was a sukkah kshera. So now you've been machshir that entire area, even though there's no wall on one of the sides at all, or on the other side, there's only a wall on one side. So what do you see from there? That once you have a heksha sukkah, so then you're matir anything that is inside that sukkah. So Rashi claims that being matir, the inside of our two-level sukkah, is enough to be matir the entire sukkah, even the outside part. Now, the obvious taina on Rashi is that over here, you do not have that extra wall that extends out. And for that matter, maybe even if you did, because the wall that extends out is not a wall that has schach on it at all. So how can you call that the wall of the sukkah? I mean, it has covering, but it's lamala miyazirama. Is that schach? This, of course, relates to the earlier question. Is schach lamala miyazirama ama schach? It's just that it's not schach that is kosher for the sukkah, because the sukkah needs to have that distance, you see? But once you have a sukkah that's kosher, then you are under schach kosher, even when you're on the outer area of your dual-level sukkah, and therefore Rashi is saying it's kosher. What's more, Rashi is saying that the pagam of a dofen that doesn't have schach on top of it, cannot be used for a sukkah. But the pagam of the dofen is not a pagam. Once we were makshir, the minimal shear of a sukkah of 7, and we now have a dofen. So that dofen now continues on. So it's a classic psala yotze min hasukkah. Now you see the implications of the question we asked earlier and how the two sugyas are directly related to each other. So that would mean that according to Rashi, you could sit in the entire sukkah despite the fact that you're totally outside of the range of the esrim amas for the sukkah kshera, which is absolutely brilliant, right? Okay. So that's why we have to talk about this case. I mean, otherwise it's a completely ridiculous case. It's a standard sukkah. What in the world is the difference? So there, it would be kosher if yesh ba heksher sukkah. Now, how about if we add another fascinating element? And suppose what happens is he builds this deck, but the deck does not extend across the entire area. The deck is connected to one of the sidewalls. It's connected to the back wall, but it does not extend to the other sidewall. So basically, the deck itself only has two walls. Now, how far away is the edge of the deck from the opposite wall that it doesn't reach? So now it claims here that im yesh misfat itztabalakot al arba amot psula. If there's a full arba amot till the opposite wall, so then it's pasul. But if it's within 4 amot, then it's kosher. Why is it kosher? It's kosher because of the concept that is called dofen akuma. Dofen akuma means that if you are within a range of a wall and there is a covering of the wall, let's talk about the classic case of dofen akuma. Dofen akuma's classic case is where a roof collapses on a building. You're in your home, a one-story home with a flat roof. The middle of the roof collapses, leaving you, let's say, 3.5 amas all around of normal housing roofing with a big hole in the middle. And now you figure, wow, couldn't have happened at a better time. It's Erev Sukkos. I'll just throw a bunch of schach on the hole, and now I'll have myself a sukkah in the middle of my living room. Amazing. Anyway, Gam Zolotova, right? Okay. So what happens over here is somebody comes in and says, but wait a minute, you've got schach that doesn't have walls. These are not walls to the schach. Look how far away they are from the schach. This is the halacha l'mashe Mesinai called dofen akuma. So despite the fact that you have non-kosher roofing between the end of your schach and the wall, if the distance is less than 4 amot, halacha l'mashe Mesinai, we view those walls as bending inward, and therefore they are part of the sukkah. So the chiddush over here is that that dofen akuma would apply over here as well. Now, why not? That we'll talk about in a minute. But what we're saying is that would be dofen akuma. Now, the question is, would Rashi also hold that you could sit in the other part of this sukkah? That's the question. Because over here, you're looking up, well, I see schach. But we tell you, no, that's not schach. That's a wall. It is? It looks like schach. Yes, but that local emotion, you see, that turned it into a wall. So does that passel the schach, which is now the psal hayotzim in hasukkah? Or could even in this case, it could be psal hayotzim in hasukkah? And then you would be sitting under schach, which is really lamalam yesrimama, but the sukkah is kosher. Now, listen to this, guys, because it's like a brilliant, brilliant discussion among the Rishonim, which the Achronim have made even crazier. This is a shayla that was asked to Reb Shloime Zalman. So listen to the case over here. So the Rosh discusses a case where you have schach that is kosher next to the wall. And then you have schach that is not kosher of 4 tvachim, which usually passels the sukkah. And then you have schach kosher again. And the combination of the schach kosher and schach passel is less than 4 amos, not to be confused with the 4 tvachim that passels the sukkah. Now you're going to say dofen akuma, right? I'm going to say, okay, all of that covering became part of the wall, which now continued up to the centerpiece of the sukkah, which was a big patch of kosher schach. Can you sit under the schach that's kosher, which is up against the wall? Or do we say, since the wall now turned into wall, utilizing that schach is possible because it's wall, it's not schach. So the Rosh says beferish that that is kosher. You could sit under that part, or you could sit under the middle part. So basically, what we have is an entangled reality. If you're sitting under that part, so then it's schach. If you're sitting under the other part, then it's dofen, right? Now, the brilliant thing that Reb Shloime Zalman did is deal with a situation where you have Bob and Alice talking to each other. So what happens is one guy is sitting under the schach that's next to the wall, and the other guy is sitting next to the schach, which is utilizing that schach as dofen akuma. So now the question is, can two people simultaneously utilize a reality which can only be A for one or B for the other, and each one thinks the other one is beat out of his A? But it goes better than that, because Reb Shloime questions, let's say that we have a multiple world interpretation, okay? So Bob believes he's sitting in a kosher sukkah because it's next to the dofen. Okay, Alice believes she's sitting in a kosher sukkah. Can't really be Alice in this kasha. It would have to be George, okay? Because it can't be a female question, as we'll see. So we've got George that's sitting in the sukkah that he believes is kosher because Bob's sukkah is a dofen akuma and not schach at all. Okay, now the question is, can Bob's brocha of leishev basukkah be motzi? George, is that amazing? Because according to me, you're not sitting in a sukkah. So would I be able to use your bracha on a sukkah that's not a sukkah for me? God, this is absolutely adorable. It's unbelievable. Exactly. It's absolutely amazing. And he paskin that absolutely the bracha is kosher from one guy to the next. Oh, man. It's just fabulous. Okay. Anyway, it's just beautiful. All right. So obviously all of those questions are going to be nogea, the issue over here about whether Rashi really believes that you could utilize, that seems to be a question of, there were different Gersos in Rashi apparently, because some of the Rishonim bring a Rashi that we don't have, which says that Rashi said beferish and you could sit even in the area that was Dofen Akumat, because that would also be kosher because of Psala Yotzi B'Nasuk. Now note that what that would mean actually is that if you take that approach, it seems to imply that the din of Dofen Akuma only is a question of how to treat things in terms of that specific halacha, that it's called a dofen. It has nothing to do with the kashrus of the schach whatsoever. They're two totally different issues. And that the halacha does not mean, like many such halachas, does not mean that it changes the way in which you need to relate to something outside of the tchum of that halacha. So we're talking about a different world, essentially. Now, as we mentioned earlier, the din of Dofen Akuma is well known. So why in the world is it important for us to learn the second part? I mean, Dofen Akuma, Maikom Ashmo. Now what? The big kiddush over here is that we're ready to say Dofen Akuma? I mean, that's a beferish of Mishnah that we're going to have soon that teaches the din of Dofen Akuma. Bayit shenivchat v'sichei chagabav. This was our classic case. The wall, the roof collapses, the flat roof collapses in the middle of your living room. Im yesh min akotel asichuch psula, arba amos psula, anim apochos mikan kshira. So as long as you don't have four amot, it's anything less than four amot is kosher. So what's wrong with knowing it from the Mishnah? That's why I need the case over here to teach me the same halacha. Ah, because ma'o detema, there's a big difference. The difference is that hatamu dechazya ledofen. Avalocha delo chazya ledofen, ema lo. Remember that in the case of the house, the wall is, in terms of its height level, a less than 20 amot high dofen. So it already fits the defined requirements of a sukkah. I have a less than 20 amot high dofen. It's connected to the schach puzzle. And now I can make that part of the schach kosher by saying that the wall essentially is bent over and now it does reach the schach, right? But in this case, I don't have that. Because in this case, until such time as I created a dofen akuma, this dofen is attached to schach that is more than 20 amos in height. Can I bend over a wall which does not have a din of a wall vis-a-vis a sukkah and thereby create the wall at the same time that the wall is being bent over the couch of the sukkah? That's the question. You got that drawer? What do you say? Okay. So then if, wonderful. I hope you'll be able to come every day. Much better than school. So now, the question would be like this. If I'm able to say that, look at the implications for the previous cases, because this is something that Rashi talks a great deal about. There is a concept of a kosher wall. Where is that? Let's say I would steal a wall. Stolen goods. A sukkah gezula is possible. Even if the walls are stolen, it's possible. I need this for the sukkah, it's possible. So then that means that the wall has to be defined as a kosher wall for the sukkah. So now the walls that we were talking about before, this is a new dimension, literally, in the idea of the first case where you had the platform that was extending in our dual-leveled sukkah. The wall of that platform was essentially a wall that was more than 20 amos high, and it extended out maybe, I don't know, 50 feet beyond the little deck that you made inside of the sukkah. So, I mean, would we necessarily say that it's a kosher wall for the area of the deck? Or we would say, wait a minute, this wall is not a kosher wall because this wall does not connect to a sukkah at a height of 20 amot or less. It's more than that. So one of the chidushim of the Itztaba is the very fact that I can redefine this wall by building the deck, even though the wall is contiguous with its own self as it extends outward, maybe for a much longer distance than the seventh tefachim of the deck. So that's also part of the chiddush of the original case. Why is this important? Because there are Rishonim, like the Ran, for instance, who says that he disagrees with the idea of using the schach that is lamala mi'esrim as psal hayotze min hasukkah, because the psal hayotze min hasukkah has kosher schach, and over here you don't have kosher schach. So then you can ask the Ran, okay, so then what the heck is the point of the whole case? It's a ridiculous case. Of course it's kosher. Why wouldn't it be kosher? You built a deck with schach. The only possibility is that I might have thought that the wall is not kosher because of the fact that it's a dofen that extends lamala mi'esrim in all other areas except the deck itself. That might be the case. Okay? Now, there's going to be another difference as well. All right, maybe we'll talk about this. Some other minutes. We're having a little bit too much fun, but we need to finish. Okay. So, continuing. Now, what about if the sukkah was more than Esrim Amah? You built the Itztaba in the middle in order to make it closer. And now the question is, it's smack bang in the middle, and it's not next to any of the walls except the end of that, the inside wall. Or maybe none. So, im yesh misfat Itztaba v'ladof and arba amat l'kol ruach v'ruach, it would be psula, pachot mi arba amot, it's kshera. So then that means you could build the deck actually not attached to any wall. As long as it's within arba amos, we would say dofen akuma on all four sides in exactly the same way that we said about your living room. And therefore that triggers, well, I shouldn't say therefore, because there's still going to be a problem. Maika mashmalan damrin and dofen akuma, so what's the chiddush? This just seems to be an extended dofen akuma idea. I mean, that's the same case as the other case of the building the deck where it was attached to two walls, right? No, because ma detema dofen akuma mi ruach achat amrina, avokol ruach v'ruach lo. Therefore, kamash milan, even in every direction. Now, the obvious question of this is, the case of the collapsed roof is also in every direction. So why is this different than the case of the collapsed roof? Okay, so here, there might be, I mean, okay, there are a number of different approaches. The most logical approach, in my opinion, is that because in this case, we also had the additional issue of whether we are creating the kashrus of the dofen through the dofen akuma. So that bishlama, when we said before, by the case of the roof, where all of the dofanim are ro'i for the sukkah. So over there, I understand that applying dofen akuma is sufficient. But over here, you need to tell me the chiddush that the extended idea of dofen akuma that we mentioned earlier can also be applied in all four directions. And therefore, okay, that takes us into questions about what would be the difference between the varied directions, obviously. But it's clear, the Gemara has already made it clear that there's a different level of chiddush that is required for this case, and you can imagine why we would need to have the additional idea of all four sides. Now let's take.
Many people focus here on the issue of sach, and Rebbe showing a chain that the focus of the Gemara is on the dofer. Right, in terms of that's what Rebbe's done for us today. And many people in this guy say, I have to have the schach within the right position. And Rebbe's introducing a consistent line of chidushim that the dofen has to be defined better.
I'm not sure what you mean, I'm sorry. But, I mean, you know, if it's clear to you, fine. I don't know what you mean. Many say it's the schach. But maybe you could clarify it in writing. Okay. Haitapchu tami asarat tefachim. Now, how about the other direction? We've been talking about lifting the floor. How about lowering the floor? So if you have a sukkah that is not tall enough, and now you want to dig down, you don't want to dig out the whole thing, but you dig a size of a kosher sukkah in the middle. In order lahashlima la'asara, is that okay? Well, it doesn't have walls. Does it? I mean, it's in the middle of the floor. Okay, where's the wall? The wall on the side of the sukkah is not the wall of a sukkah because it's closer than 10 tefachim to the schach. Now note that what this means is that the din of less than 10 tefachim is a din in the kashrus of the wall. In which case, the question of diras rucha is a stupid question. Even if Rava holds that it's diras rucha, where would we get the idea that the walls have to be 10 tefachim? I'm not in a diras rucha. I made a nice, deep, sunken living room, which may be 20 feet by 20 feet, and I'm sitting in my sunken living room looking at my beautiful raised ceiling, and you're telling me, yeah, okay, but outside of the sunken room, it's not 10 tefachim high. What do I need it for? I'm not in a diras rucha. So you see that there's a different halacha, and that halacha could be what the Gemara is asking later on, which would have nothing to do with Rava. So already keep that in mind. We've already discovered that then, right? Okay, so now the question is, what makes the wall a wall? Well, then if the distance between the sunken living room and the wall is 3 tefachim, which is the size of post-lavud, in other words, it's no longer considered to be connected as one entity, so then it's psula. Wait a minute. And less than 3 tefachim, and only 3 tefachim, what happened to that 4 amos? That was so much fun. 4 amos, it gave us a lot more leeway over here. How come over there, Maishna Hatam, you said, pachos mi arba amos, and now you're talking about less than 3 tefachim? Oh my God. How does that happen? It's very simple. The din of dofen akuma means a wall that bends. Well, you have to have a wall in order to bend the wall, right? But over here, you don't have the wall because you don't have a 10 tefachim high mechitza. What makes it a 10 tefachim high mechitza? The distance between the wall and the ground. But if you don't have lavud, if you have more, you have 3 tefachim or more, then we have to measure the wall from where that wall touches the ground. Well, there ain't no wall because it's not a 10 tefachim high wall. So you can't take a dofen akuma and apply it to a non-dofen. You have to first make it a dofen, right? So hatam, in the original case where the wall exists over there, of course, for amot is the shear of dofen akuma. But over here, l'shavuyeh l'dofen, you have to first build the wall in order to say dofen akuma. And to build a wall, you need for it to be 10 tefachim high where it is. And where it is means where it is within the range of lavud, and therefore pachot b'shlosha tefachim. Yes, anything that's that or more, forget it. Then there's no lavud. Now let's take another case. It was 20 amos high, and now you build an amud in the middle, nowhere near the walls, more than 4 tefachim from everything. Now it's in the middle of the room, and you've got an area that's 7 by 7, and Rashi adds here and a little bit more, which drives everybody crazy, because there is no din of mashu on 7 by 7. We'll discuss in a minute why Rashi would say over here you do need more. Now the question is, could that be kosher if the top of the pillar that you put there is heksher sukkah? So it's 7 by 7 with Rashi's plus. So Abaya wanted to say, yeah, that would be kosher. Why? Because remember back in the second Shabbat, we had the idea of good asik mechitzata, meaning that you can magically raise, that's one of the halakas of mechitzas that are local Moshe Mi-Sinai, you can magically raise an existing mechitza. And the walls of the pillar, therefore, could be raised up as mechitzot and hit the roof. And therefore, it should be kosher. Omalei Rava, so Rava said, no. A sukkah requires mechitzot hanikarot. You need to be able to note those mechitzot, and you do not note these mechitzot. Now, this is a big question, okay? Is this a general din? Would it be true for Shabbat that you need mechitzot hanikarot? Or is that a special halacha because of the idea of the dira aspect, that it has to be like a home that we've been talking about for a sukkah? That is a machlokas rishoni. And as we'll see, the idea of mechitzot hanikarot does not mean that I need the mechitzot hanikarot that I can see. It means that these mechitzot have to be noticeable mechitzot somewhere. Show me where a pillar has mechitzot anywhere. Mechitzot afi mechitzot for something. Now suppose I would be on the edge of a roof and I would put pillars on the edge of the roof and then I would put tzchach over the pillars and there's no wall. Now there I might say that there are mechitzas nikarot in the house and I could extend those mechitzot nikarot upwards to hit the tzchach. But that's not what we're talking about now. That's what we're going to entertain in a moment. So those would also be mechitzot nikarot, even though they're not nikarot b'toch the sukkah. You'll also notice why it was that Rashi would say that you would need a mashu. Because if you're talking about bringing up the edge of the itztaba that you built, this little pillar that you built, then you have to allow for an area that will be wall and not sukkah. How big is that area? I don't know, a molecule. Fine, but the point is it needs to be a mashu. So therefore, Rashi throws in the mashu in order to allow for the idea at all. Okay, the Gabbai of the Rebbe has got a complicated question over here. We'll have to look into that. No, he only defines it in two cases this way, Jeff. And there is an equivalent reason for his other application, at least in my opinion. But as I say, it drives people crazy that they think Rashi holds all over that there's a din of mashu. Turn around on it. Let's talk about that case. Suppose you put four poles onto the roof of a house, okay? And you put tzchach on top of them and you didn't make any dofen at all. Rabbi Yaakov says it's kosher. The Chachamim say it's possible. Now, it didn't say where you built it. So Rav Huna says, I'll tell you where you built it. You built it right on the edge of the roof. Because otherwise it makes no sense at all. You built it right at the edge of the roof. And Rabbi Yaakov holds that since you do have mechitzot nikarot in the house, so therefore you extend the walls of the house upwards on the four sides, and you've got yourself a kosher sukkah. So he holds good asik mechitzata, Rabbanan Savre. You would not say in this case good asik mechitzata, because since they're not noticeable on the roof as mechitzot, they're not noticeable at all. Fine. That's what I think the machlokas is. But obviously, if you just stuck four poles in the middle of your roof and they're not an extension of the walls of the house on the outside, nobody would say that that's kosher. I claim that even Rabbi Yaakov would say that that's possible. Rabbi Nachman says, I disagree. I say just the opposite, or maybe just the opposite. We'll see. I say that they're arguing right smack bang in the middle of the roof. By the way, when you said that, did you mean they're only arguing in the middle of the roof, but on the edge of the roof, everyone would agree, and even the Chachamim reminded that there you would say good asik b'chitzata, and there's a different machlokas that is applying to where you build it in the middle of the roof. So al svata gagdivri hakol kshera, or you're saying they also argue in the middle of the roof. Which one was he saying? I don't know. Let's forget about that for a moment. Let's just discuss what that machlokas would be. So Meisvet. First of all, there seems to be a braita that proves Rav Huna to be wrong. Not arba kundesim bo'oretz. You put four poles down in the middle of the ground. You put tzchach over them. Oh my God, Rabbi Yaakov is machshir. I mean, come on. Where are the mechitzot nikarot in the middle of the ground? Now, obviously, Rav Huna is wrong. They're arguing in this case. So Rabbi Yaakov machshir v'chachomi poslim. Now, I mean, obviously, the ground level is like the middle of a roof. Eretz kem tzagagdami. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yaakov is insisting that this is kosher, obviously, with a completely different mechanism than god asik mechitzata, because there ain't no mechitzata. And nonetheless, k'machshir Rabbi Yaakov, this totally is a tiyufta to Rav Huna. Yes, tiyufta, bang. Okay, now, the question is, can we take it one more step? Can we say that the machlokas over here in the bright is presented as a machloket that only would apply to the middle of the roof? So then it's only, might we say, be'emtzu de plige, but al svata gag, they wouldn't even argue, and everybody would be motivated that it's kosher, which would blow Rav Huna out of the water twice, because then it would be a tiyuv to Rav Huna in both things, right? Tiyuv to Rav Huna betarte. Well, that Ravuna could say, look, not, I mean, come on, have mercy, guys. I mean, maybe this is just saying that there is a machlokas in the middle of the Gog, and I was wrong about that. But maybe there would also be a machlokas. I mean, we're not talking about the mechanism of the machlokas in the middle of the Gog, because it has nothing to do with mechitzas and gudasik mechitzata. So maybe there's two different mechitzas. Maybe they left it vague on purpose, so that we would understand that there would be a machlokas in the middle of the roof, and there's also a machlokas on the edge of the roof. So I don't, you can't disprove me from there. Maybe the Heidekam, if look at the Emtsagag, so why did they take the Badafka in the middle of the roof as the machlokas? Lodiacha kochode Rabbi Yaakov, tafilo be Emtsagag, nami machshir. That's to tell me how far Rabbi Yaakov is willing to go. You don't even need mechitzas, even in the middle of the roof, which would be based on what? Ah. Now we have to explain that. Tana Rabbana, let's get into that. No, it's Arba Kundisim Baratz V'Sichar Agam, and you said, put four poles down, and according to Rabbi Yaakov, it's kosher as mechitza. So why is that? So even here, the Bright explains it better. Here, Rabbi Yaakov says, look, what you have to first define is see how thick the poles are. These are round poles. Let's say that you would shave those poles down, so now they would be square poles. Okay. Would they have a tefach in every direction? So they're one by ones. If they're one by ones, then if you would be able to split them into a 90-degree angle, so then you would have a tefach in each direction. You would have a tefach lekan and a tefach lekan. So then that means that basically what you've got over here is the diyumad. The diyumad was the relationship, remember, that we had back in Shabbos? That if you are in an optical illusion, which is, and the Chachomim allowed this optical illusion to be a kosher mechitza in the case where you're drawing water out of a well and you're on the road, and this was for Olei Regolim and so on. So you have over here something that was a well in the middle of Rosh Hasharabim. Had you brought it up in the middle of Rosh Hasharabim, you bring from Rosh Hasharabim into Rosh Hasharabim. So therefore, they instituted that all you need to have is that classic optical illusion where by outlining a four on each side, you outline the mechitza by having a diumad. Diumad means diu amudim, a dual amud. So you've got an indication of a one tafach in all directions. That is considered to be a proper mechitza because it's not an illusion. It's an actual, it defines the space. And therefore, in the case of the sukkah, it would also be considered to be a diumad, and it's kosher the way it is on Shabbos. But if not, if you can't have a theoretical tefach in each direction, then they're not a diumad. Because Rabbi Yaakov used to say all the time that there's a shear of diyum de sukkah, and it's one tefach. The Chachomim say there's no such din of diyum din when it comes to a tefach at all, a sukkah at all. A sukkah needs to be shtayim kehilchatan, and the shlishis is a filut tefach, and that is the shear